Real quick, interesting tidbit about tonight's game. It's in Gary, Indiana.
Yes.
5 years ago, Michael Jackson passed away. He's from Gary, Indiana.
Mm.
Maybe they'll have some sort of tribute.
Did you see the jerseys that Gary South Shore wore? I think it was on Saturday.
No.
They were actually like red and white as a tribute to Michael Jackson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was on their Twitter account. You'll have to check it out.
Maybe they'll be on eBay.
It was really cool. I would get myself a Michael Jackson, Gary South Shore. I mean, assuming I could afford it.
It'd be pretty pricey.
Oh, man. Well, you think about it, though. I mean, it probably would, because it's a collector's item. I would try it, and I even think my wife would let me buy one. That's the important thing. You got to let your wife buy you one. Let me ask AJ Monser from KFAN 100.3. AJ, if you had a choice to buy a jersey of a pop star that was from an area, who would it be?
Oh, man. Well, you guys are waxing nostalgic. I'm going to say a little new school. I would probably go with Justin Timberlake. I'm a big Justin Timberlake guy.
He's cool. Justin, he just spits off swag.
Oh, man. He's my man crush. I actually went up to Fargo on my birthday to watch him perform, and I'm not ashamed of it.
Wow.
I screamed louder than the 15-year-old girls that were next to me, and I didn't care. I did not care.
Cool. I'm in. Good for you.
But yeah, he's from what, Memphis, isn't he, AJ?
That's a great question. I don't really know. I guess I should probably do my homework on him if I'm going to be such a big fan, huh?
Well, one guy, I don't think he's going to end up in Memphis, but we know he's not going to stay in Minneapolis. Kevin Love. It just seems like we're kind of just getting tired of the old song and dance. And we talked to John Krasinski earlier today about it. And is it time that we just, there needs to be a deal with Kevin Love so everybody can move on?
Well, it's definitely the time. I think everyone here in Minnesota, all Timberwolves fans across the upper Midwest, have kind of just assumed that that's going to be the outcome. And it's kind of just, how is it going to happen now? Is it going to be before the draft with a trade including draft picks, or is it going to be something after the draft? And I know, I've talked to John quite a bit too, AP guy. He's kind of leaning towards the fact, unless he's changed his mind, that it's going to be after the draft. A situation where you're going to kind of trade not necessarily known commodities. There could be some potential players that were already drafted, but you're not going to get the unknown draft picks. But there's still potential with that. And I think, recent events of, I think, was it yesterday when LeBron made his announcement about him opting out? Reality probably will land him back in Miami again, but I think that the prospect of LeBron opting out of the last year of his deal opens up the doors for teams like Cleveland, teams like Chicago, who they already have one kind of piece, whether it be a point guard or whatever it be. You are now trying to find a way to bring another piece in so that you could maybe make the situation a little sweeter for a guy like LeBron. And if Kevin Love signed with Chicago, or if, I'm sorry, got traded to Chicago or got traded to Cleveland, which there are rumors about that today. I think it's kind of dissipated a little bit. But if he went to a team like that, you put Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, in a team where LeBron James is very familiar, his hometown, it makes it a little more appealing to a guy like LeBron. So if he were to leave Miami, there would be a reason to go back to the Cavaliers. But I think realistically, Golden State is still in this thing. But I think I'm starting to agree with John Krasinski and say that it's going to be after the draft. You're going to trade some commodities that you've already the team has already chosen, and that may even bring another team into the mix too. So I think it's a pretty good bet that he's not on this team for opening day for the Timberwolves this year. But whether or not it's before tomorrow night, I'm still not convinced.
AJ, when we see all these, reading online about how these deals get done, then there's a stoppage in them, or they close the doors on them. Is that almost smoke? Are these deals still up and alive? Or when you see the Celtics, or doesn't want to go to Cleveland. Are these deals done when they say that, or are they just getting started?
I don't know, because it's hard to really say if there was any clout behind that deal in the first place. And I know when guys like Adrian Wojnarowski get behind a source, if he's the guy where the information's coming from, that's a pretty good source, and you can kind of see that maybe if there is some smoke there is fire as well. But the timing of it's completely up in the air, because we've heard already Golden State's in, Golden State's out, and obviously nothing's happened there yet. But these deals, they're working the phones, and I bet we've heard maybe three or four teams that the Timberwolves may have been in contact with. The reality of it is it's probably closer to 10 teams that have at least inquired come the draft, when there's other trades, that could go down, there's other situations where a player could be drafted or another player could be traded, and you open the door to a lot of possibilities with a three-team trade or just a one-for-one trade that could land Kevin Love in a different situation. So I don't think you read into it too much and say, well, you know, Kevin Love said that he's not going to re-sign with Cleveland, because realistically, if he were to get traded to Cleveland and Kyrie Irving were already there and then LeBron James decided to go to Cleveland, I can guarantee you that Kevin Love will re-sign in Cleveland. So it's all about how you want to look at it, but I wouldn't write anybody off at this point.
I said this earlier in the program, AJ, that you don't get a trade chip like Kevin Love that, for all intents and purposes, falls into your lap very often. And this is I think this is already a big test for Flip Saunders, because he's got to get this right. You're not going to get fair market value for Kevin Love, but you're going to have to get some sort of value, and not just in picks. You've got to get some star, some capable NBA player as part of your package, because you're not going to get this opportunity very often.
Well, I know, I agree with you. I think realistically, because of the money kind of has to match up, you do have to get some sort of player that does have a decent-sized contract to be part of the deal. But, you know, I think that, you know, it's a tough spot that Flip has put himself in, and maybe not by choice, but you're the predecessor to the general manager, maybe the worst general manager in the history of this organization. Everybody hates David Kahn, and everybody looks right now for this situation that the Timberwolves are in, and they blame David Kahn. So Flip is a guy who's coming off of a situation where everybody was very harsh on the general manager, and they need him to prove that he is a good general manager before, or president of basketball operations, whatever you want to call it, before they can trust him. And this is a situation where he's at now. And Flip has already also come out and said that he doesn't want to throw away this season. You know, mm-hmm. It's a situation where he doesn't want the trade to be just for draft picks. He wants to get some tangible pieces that can come and help them compete this season. Maybe not, you know, necessarily get into the playoffs or go deep in the playoffs, but a situation where they're not going to be a losing team this year. And I don't know that that's feasible. I really do think that you kind of need to bite the bullet and rebuild a little bit here. And realistically, when you look at some of the options that people have been talking about, I think fans would maybe be happy with the Golden State option if it does include Klay Thompson. Outside of that, I think that the only other way that fans will be happy when this trade goes down, they already know it's going to, mm-hmm. but when this trade goes down is if it's for the number one overall pick and Cleveland is a part of that deal.
He's AJ Mansour, KFan 100.3 here on Sports Talk with Craig and Chris. Matt Peterson from KSFY sitting in for Craig Maddock. Let's switch and talk some Vikings. We're past the OTAs, but we're kind of in a downtime right now, AJ. We got training camp opening up, I believe, July 25th, I believe, in 1 month. They report to Mankato. What are not only your thoughts, but, I mean, the thoughts of people up there at the station about what they've seen from the Vikings so far in the offseason?
Well, you know, you take everything with a grain of salt, because obviously they don't have pads on. They're not hitting each other. Training camp's going to show a little bit more. But we do go out there and try and kind of glean a little bit of information, analyze it a little bit. And the one thing that should be no surprise to anybody, that everybody's kind of grasping onto, the one player is Teddy Bridgewater and his progression there. We've seen as much as we can, again, in these situations. We've seen Teddy take some big steps that, you know, we really haven't ever seen Christian Ponder take. And we see some rookie mistakes that he's making, obviously. This is still early. He's going to have to adjust to the speed. He's going to have to adjust to the time it takes for a cornerback to close a gap and get in there. But it's interesting, because you see Teddy make some of those mistakes, but then you see Christian Ponder make that mistake and Matt Cassel make that mistake. So you can't write it off necessarily as a rookie mistake. But some of the things that he's doing good, the way that he's grasping the offense, he told us the other day that he plays Madden 2014, and he loaded in the playbook or specific plays for the Vikings into the game so that he can play his video games with the actual plays that he's going to be running on the field. So he can kind of see how it's going to shake out, how the players are lining up. No, that's not going to necessarily help the way that he physically plays, but mentally he's putting in virtual reps is what he calls them. So he's doing all the right things. And then you talk about the physical stuff. He has a little bit of an interesting delivery. When you see it the first time, it's going to look kind of goofy, but he's spot on almost every single time, and he's hitting windows that, you know, you don't have windows in college very often that are tiny. If a guy's open, he's open by about 10 feet. And in the pros, you got about a 2-foot window where you have to get it in. And he's closed out practice a couple times, guys, with passes that I've never seen from Christian Ponder. And very rarely have I seen them from Matt Cassel. So hopefully that's not just the fact that the Vikings defense is still a little shoddy. But I think when they do report in a month from today, everybody's going to be all eyes on Teddy Bridgewater. And I think that realistically, he still does have a good chance to start opening week for this team if Matt Cassel doesn't go out and show something, and if he continues the progression that he's on right now.
Well, there's obviously, you know, a bunch of quarterback talk, but also a new head coach in town with Mike Zimmer, who got real popular, it seemed like, on Hard Knocks when he was with the Bengals, and he kind of came off as pretty brash and pretty vocal. Has he been like that? Has he been pretty hard with the guys? Or what has been your initial reaction of how Zimmer's kind of handled the new team?
Well, he's definitely been pretty brash. I think that's a good way to put it. It's a different feel from the Leslie Frazier regime now with the Mike Zimmer regime, but I don't think that it's a bad thing. You know, players are always going to say when there's a coaching change that the old coach wasn't getting it done and the way he did it wasn't the right way, and we love the way the new coach is doing it. But from what I've seen, I've already seen these guys respond. He will get in your face, and he will hold you accountable, is what he calls it. And if you're in the wrong spot, he's going to yell at you. If you run the wrong route, he's going to yell at you. If you miss the gap on defense that you're supposed to go in, he's going to yell at you. And he's very hands-on, especially with the defense. So that's obviously his specialty. But he's been very hands-on with this team. And then you look at the way that he's made this coaching staff and built it together. You have North Turner on the offensive side, who's putting in a new wrinkle of creativity that, you know, we haven't seen here in Minnesota. And if what we're seeing in practice makes it over into the game as far as play calling and the play, the options in the playbook, I think it's going to be a fun season. And there's a lot of players on offense and defense that kind of were household names here in Minnesota, but they're going to be household names in the league because the way that this new offense and this new defense will feature specific players, some of them being Chad Greenway, Cordarrelle Patterson. I think you guys, if he can continue to keep his head on straight and this offense goes the way that it's going now, I think he's on par for a breakout season because they're going to use him in so many different ways. And obviously we know if you get the ball in his hand, he's so explosive. So it's fun to see, but it definitely is a different vibe down there. And I think training camp, when it's long days, you're out in the hot heat, it's going to be you're going to see a lot of the brashness, if you will, of Mike Zimmer and his coaching staff.
I can't believe we're just 1 month away from training camp, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited because it's something completely new. I don't remember this kind of optimism in the off season that didn't come from one play. I know the Brett Favre thing was big back in 2009, but the last time that there was this much excitement for a coaching change, I can't even remember it, AJ.
Well, yeah, and hopefully again it comes to fruition. Yeah. You know, he is a first-time head coach, and there are some things that he's learning on the fly, and a lot of those things are going to be game day decisions. You know, he's never been the guy who had to make the decision of whether to throw the red flag or not, or to call a timeout or not. And even in this last year, you know, all the coaches get flack for it, but Leslie Frazier got some flack for it. So there'll be a learning curve for sure, but you're right. I think that fans in Minnesota were ready for a change. And Leslie, as great of a guy as he is off the field, for whatever reason, wasn't getting it done in the locker room or on the field. And I think that everybody is convinced at this point that Mike Zimmer, out of all the options you had out there this year and potential coaches, was the one to get. And I think that the players kind of are reacting the same way. And hopefully, again, hopefully they're learning. And hopefully when they get to the regular season, they can carry this stuff over, because I really do believe in what they're trying to install there. And you can tell that the players do as well. So, you know, it could be on par for, I don't want to, you know, blow predictions out of the water here and say that they're going to go to the Super Bowl this year, but I would not be surprised in a division where, you know, Green Bay is kind of on a little bit of a downturn, Detroit is Detroit, and Chicago is Chicago. I think that there's a very real possibility that the Vikings could be fighting for the division as long as they can continue to pick it up a little bit on defense. They're going to score points. They just need to play better on defense. Last year, they were, you know, 4 or 5 wins away. In the final 2 minutes, they could have had 4 or 5 more wins. So they can score points. You have the weapons. Now you just need to play defense and stop those dynamic offenses in the NFC North.
AJ, appreciate the time, my friend. Nice job as always. And we'll be in contact. And we've got our day in Mankato August 1st. And I know we'll talk to you before then, but we'll also talk to you when we're down in Mankato as well.
Perfect, guys. I look forward to it.
All right. Thanks, AJ.
See you.
All right. It's AJ Montour, KFAN 100.3.